This morning's Bible reading comes from Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Our second Bible reading comes from the book of 1 Peter. Peter's first letter, chapter 1, and I'm reading verses 3 to 9. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that through your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls."
"Who do you say I am?" One question from Jesus still ripples through time. Many questions go unanswered, but this one, it cannot be ignored. Is he a prophet, some wondered? A teacher or a philosopher? A liar? A lunatic? No matter what they believed, his death would come brutally. The cross, it was built for pain, constructed to kill and destroy. The cross was built to take, but the open mouth of a grave testifies forever of one exception, and it has not yet been silenced. If the cross speaks of defeat, the empty tomb calls out victory. If the cross screams of judgment, the abandoned shroud thunders freedom. Put yourself there. Rest your hand on a rough boulder pushed aside. Stare into the grave where death was robbed. Listen to a still, small voice. Who do you say I am? And the emptiness of that place will answer you. He is Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our lives. He is Jesus. He rules both ends of time and the places beyond. He is our security. He is our significance. He is our satisfaction. He is Jesus, God's answer to our guilt. He is the Son not spared so that we could go free. And just as death came through one man comes resurrection. It is finished.
And there's a cheer after that, right? Come on. Christ is the great victor who has brought us life through his resurrection And we were able to remember his death last Friday. Today we remember that the one who died for us is the one who rose from the dead victorious. Friends, sometimes people find the world just hopeless. I can understand that there is a war in Syria, abductions and rape in northern Nigeria, terrorists in multiple places in the world, 65 million refugees, asylum seekers, and internally displaced people around the world today, sex slave traffickers, sexual abuse, family violence, marriage breakdown, sickness and death, injustice, poverty, rape, torture, selfishness, jealousy, school shootings, bushfires, floods, earthquakes, cyclones. That's just to name a few. So where do you find hope in a world like ours? Dr. Viktor Frankl was an influential American psychiatrist, but also a Jew from Vienna, and he became an inmate of the German concentration camp. He observed the men and women around him to see who would last their time there. And he made this statement: during the war, prisoners in the German concentration camps who closed their eyes to the future and looked only to the past found no meaning in their pitiful existence and they died. The prisoner who lost faith in the present and hope in the future was doomed. The person who saw that life expected something from him, that there was hope for the future, even in that grim situation, gained an inner victory over his circumstances. Hope helps us to look forward to what God has for us. The Russian philosopher Dostoevsky wrote, "To live without hope is to cease to live." Good Friday was a tough day. Jesus was arrested, beaten, tried, scourged, mocked, crucified, and killed, left dead and buried. There seemed to be no hope. It was hopeless until Easter Sunday. Christ is risen, and it changes everything. There is hope for now, and listen to this carefully, there's hope for now and for eternity. We don't simply live for eternity, we live for now and for eternity in God. Death does not win, sin does not win, Satan does not win. Christ has the victory. And he said in John 14, verse 19, "Because I live, you also will live." I remember the late Billy Graham was once in what was then West Germany before unification. And he was meeting the Chancellor then, and the Chancellor said, "Dr. Graham, do you know what is the most important thing in this world, the most important truth there is?" And Billy Graham was about to give a response, but the Chancellor gave his own response. The Chancellor said to Billy Graham, "The most important thing in the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus is dead and buried in the tomb, then I can see no hope for the future of mankind. But if he is raised from the dead, we are all possessed with hope." And we gather this morning in churches right across our nation and across the globe saying there is hope for now, there is hope for eternity because of Christ's resurrection. And in this passage in 1 Peter, we learn a number of things. Number one, we hear of God's great mercy. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Easter reminds us of God's mercy. That was our focus on Good Friday, where one lays down his life for another, where Christ laid down his life for you. Now, I remember reading a story that really moved me a number of years ago of a truck driver, David Wallace, who had taken his young son, it was school holidays, we're about to head into school holidays in a couple of weeks, on a trip with him. And he had a bit of an accident and the truck rolled. And just before it exploded into fire, his dad, in a sense, fell over his son and embraced him and looked after him. So when they took the shock of the accident and the fire, he lost his life, but his young son survived. Again, a hero, a man who gave his life for his son. And we remembered on Good Friday that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He came from heaven to earth to show his mercy by dying in our place. And as a result of that, we now have a living hope. A living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Australia's a funny country, and I think people are funny, don't you think? Do you know, often I'm involved with funerals. It's just part of the job, right? It's a real blessing, by the way, to be part of that, to be with people in those tough times. Also a very difficult time. And sometimes I need to do the funerals of people who do not trust in Jesus, who don't love God, who lived all of their lives independent of God, never touched church or a Bible or prayed. But you know, when someone dies, even if they've never followed Christ, maybe they've even been atheist, do you know what we say? Oh, I look forward to having a few beers with them in heaven afterwards. Look forward when we catch up later, beyond the death, we'll come and meet with you. Oh, it's so good that my brother's gone to be with mum and dad who've gone before them in heaven. And what is it saying? It's saying that we all hope for something more, don't we? Once the grave hits, we all hope that there is something on the other side, even if we've shown no interest in God. And friends, thankfully, Good Friday was not the end for Jesus, because the resurrection is the guarantee that there is life after death. And therefore, I could speak with great confidence and courage at the funerals of Christian people that there is more to come. But some people, it doesn't matter what evidence you give them, will never believe that Christ rose from the dead. It's been a fascinating story out of Romania recently. You may have heard it in the news. There's a 63-year-old man who's been pronounced dead by a court despite standing in the court alive. See, he'd moved to Turkey for 10 years, and his wife said, I don't know where he is, and they arranged a death certificate. Her husband is dead. When he heard that he was dead, he thought he'd go back home to Romania. So he turns up to Romania, goes to a court case, and says, Judge, can you please take away my death certificate? Because I need to work, and I need to, you know, move on with my life, and I can't do it if I'm dead. And the court told him he was too late. Too late to be pronounced undead, whatever the word is. You would have to remain officially deceased. And he wrote, I'm officially dead, though I'm alive. I have no income. Because I'm listed dead, I can't do anything. Friends, sometimes for people in our world, despite the evidence of Jesus' resurrection, the empty tomb, the transformed disciples, the start of the Christian church, we go on and on. Despite the evidence, they prefer that he remains dead. Because if Jesus is dead, they can do what they like with their lives. They're not accountable to anyone. The book, The Case for Easter, that I'm holding up right here by former atheist Lee Strobel, gives some of the compelling evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I do have 20 copies available in the foyer you're able to pick up after the service. They're for free. Don't worry about the price tag on the back. We'd love for you, if you don't know that evidence, you've never considered that evidence, to pick that up and have a read of that. There are some other resources there for you as well. Jesus offers a living hope to everyone, to the lost and the rebellious, the good and the moral. You may be listening on radio this morning and you think, I'm too far from God. And maybe even you came this morning, you're worried that the church was going to burn down around you if you walk into a church building. People said, well, if I turn up to church, you know, you never know what will happen, it'll fall over. And Kim Hawtrey, in his book, The True and Living God, talks about visiting a prison in Russia many years ago. And he was waiting to go in to see some people, and there was a woman dressed, looked like a reasonably middle-class woman in her 40s, waiting, and he asked her if she worked in the jail, and she replied, no, in actual fact, I'm one of the inmates. He said, do you mind if I ask you what you're in for? She said, not at all. I'm serving a sentence for murder. He took a step back. Yes, that's right, she said, and I came home one night to find my husband in bed with his lover, and in a rage, I killed them both. Now I'm serving 10 years. And then she continued to tell him, before I came into the prison, I wasn't religious. I began attending the prison Bible study led by the chaplain and came to understand the gospel and accepted Christ, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Saviour. I now know I am pardoned by God in spite of my crime because of Jesus' death on the cross. I have found both hope and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it is hope for those who recognise their lostness and rely on God's mercy in Jesus. There was hope for the criminal on the cross who found forgiveness in the final moments of his life and said, Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? It was hope for lying, thieving tax collectors like Zacchaeus who found forgiveness and hope in Jesus. There was hope for the sexually immoral who found grace and hope in Christ. There was hope even for Saul of Tarsus, who had been rounding up and persecuting Christians, thinking that they were evil and they were wrong. When God broke into his life, he too received forgiveness and transformation and became the amazing Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament. At one point, an enemy of Christ, he met the resurrected Christ and was transformed and had hope. It is hope which has an eternal perspective. Is this living hope, though, culminating in an eternity with God worth pursuing? Should you give everything to Christ? You're here this morning on Easter Sunday and you think, I'm not quite sure I want to follow him. Is it worth it? You see, our society tells us, make money, be happy, build your own kingdom, look after yourself. And Jesus says, no, I am the Saviour, I am the Redeemer, I am the Lord. See, in terms of television for us, it's pretty easy to be happy in Australia. Cook well. My Kitchen Rules or MasterChef, right? If you cook well, you're happy. Marry a stranger, that will help. Married at first sight, that's going to help you for sure. Survive on a desert island. Survivor, celebrity, get me out of here. No, leave them all there, I say. Right? If that doesn't make you happy or hopeful, just watch the football. The Dragons are doing well, 3 wins in a row. Right? Those Bulldogs, on the other hand, God help them. Or just watch a show on Netflix. You don't even have to go out anywhere now. Everything comes to your television set. I was watching something from Netflix. I don't know how it works, but my wife does. Downloaded a lovely movie we enjoyed last night. You don't need to go anywhere to be happy. Yeah, everything you need here and now. And look at us. Brilliant. 32 degrees. April the 1st. It seems like we have everything here. But we know there is more, don't we? You know, when someone gets sick, when something goes wrong, all of a sudden you think about life and its meaning and its ultimate destiny. E.J. Carnell wrote these just powerful words. It says, the incongruity between our desire for life and the reality of physical death is the most maddening problem of all. Although we see the handwriting on the wall, we yet refuse to think that death is our final destiny, that we will perish as the fish and the fowl, that our place will be remembered no more. We will to live forever. The urge is risen deep in our nature. Friends, the resurrection says there is a future. There is an eternity. Thirdly, new birth and hope today. In The Road Less Travelled, Scott Peck wrote, life is difficult. Yes, it is. Friends, as you sit here, you may be going through marriage difficulties. You may be having problems with your children. You may be having problems at work. Yes, life is difficult. You may have difficulty raising young children. And you may be having difficulty caring for older parents. It's tough. But, you know, God gives you the power for now, as well as life for eternity. Hear that carefully. The new birth he gives us is to give us power today to live this new life. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. When you receive Christ, the Bible says you are born again. You have a spiritual birth. I was born on the 18th of October, 1961. I know it's a long time ago, right? But I was spiritually born. Reborn in June, 1976. At that point, I gave my life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit came into me, and I was born again. The Bible says we all need to be born again. And what the Bible says is that when you trust in Christ, Your sins are forgiven and you are born again. There's a new power to live life differently. And I remember in the 70s, the president, Jimmy Carter from the United States, said, well, I'm a born again Christian. And all of a sudden, that expression made it on all the newspapers. Everyone's talking about being a born again Christian. Well, it's the only Christian you can be, by the way. If you're not born again, you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, unless you have a spiritual rebirth that gives you the power for here and now, then you are not a Christian. Friends, the resurrection of Jesus offers us meaning and hope. It confirms that there is a personal God who loves us and beckons us into a relationship with him. Born again, forgiven, shown the mercy of God to live powerfully and differently. And the resurrection tells us that we are not alone on the journey of this life. You ever think you're alone? Sometimes you think, God, where are you? And sometimes I've asked that question myself, God, where are you in this situation? The resurrection says, I'm never alone. And the resurrection confirms that the death of Jesus on the cross is God's answer to sin and guilt. If Jesus is still dead, if you can find him in a tomb in the Middle East, I'm giving up this job. Going back to teach mathematics, whatever else I can do. But because of the resurrection, we can have hope that our sin and our guilt has been removed. And finally, we have a certain future, he says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, get that, into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance. We have an inheritance coming, right? That can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The gospel speaks of the mercy of God, a living hope, a new birth, and a glorious future. Christ is coming back one day, and we will be with him. We experience just this unity of love and relationship with him like we've never experienced before. But we need to keep our focus right, don't we? You need to keep focus on the death and resurrection of Christ because we are easily distracted. There was a young French student in the riots of Sorbonne in the 1960s, standing on his little soapbox like they used to do in the Domain in Sydney. They had people now preaching different messages from politics to religion to other things, and he was preaching on his little soapbox in Paris, telling people about what he thought about the world. And this is what he said. What is the point of my life, he said. Here I am studying medicine. In a few years I will graduate and I will go to a good job and I will earn lots of money and buy a big house and a big car. But what is the point of it all, he says. Some of you think, what do you mean? That's a good point. What's the point of it all? And the student said, yeah, we're with you. Revolution, bring on the revolution. And then he said, then the real tragedy of it is when I am 40, I will think it is wonderful. At one point, a bigger picture of life. At a certain point, I've got a house, I've got kids, I've got grandkids, I've got holidays twice a year. And we think that's all there is. Well, friends, let me say to you today on Easter Sunday, it's no joke, Christ rose from the dead. That the resurrection tells us there is more to life than simply here and now. So I ask you four questions as we conclude. Have you received the mercy of God? Are you enjoying, are you living hope? Have you experienced a spiritual birth, rebirth? Are you born again? And are you confident of your eternal destiny? God offers all of those things to you today. And I want to pray because maybe some of you have never received Christ into your life. You've never put him first, and you think, well, I know it's true, but I keep hanging back. And I pray that if this is your desire to start a relationship with Jesus this morning, that you would do that. Whether you're here in this auditorium or listening on radio this morning, join me as I pray. Lord God, we thank you today for the love that you have shown us through the death and resurrection of your son, Jesus. I do believe that Jesus is your Son and our Saviour, that he died for me. I do trust and believe that he rose from the dead on the third day,
Today I say sorry for my sins, and I receive Christ as my Lord and my Saviour. God, I want your mercy. I want that living hope. I want to be born again. And I want to be confident of my eternal destiny. Please forgive me and change me, I pray, through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour. Amen.